church. You are dismissed. Children's church probably will not last very long. The message today fit on this size piece of paper. Yeah. Can anybody say amen? Yeah. I mean, I know everybody's so excited about soup and chili that, I mean, who would want to keep you guys from such things as that? And the running joke for those of y'all who may not know is I despise soup and chili. It is my least favorite meal of all meals. Can't stand it. Chili gives me heartburn. Soup just isn't very filling. I just can't stand it. And I think soup and chili used to be a regular fellowship here, if I remember right. And since I've been here over the last 3 years, we pretty well whittled it down to one time a year is how often we will have soup and chili. But I don't want to keep you all from that because I know that you enjoy it. It's been one of those weeks. Anybody ever have one of those weeks? Yeah, some of us. It's been one of those weeks, one of those days, one of those nights. So what I intended to preach and share with you, I'll share with you next week. Next week's message is going to be a special one. It's one that I've thought a lot about, one that I pulled some old messages that I had preached a number of years ago. And the entire of that message and the focus of next week's message will be about who am I, who I want to be, and who I can be. But this morning I want to look at one verse, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Because for some of us it has been one of those weeks. For some of us maybe one of those days, one of those nights, one of those months, one of those lifetimes it may seem. I think this verse is very fitting. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I know you heard me read this many times before. And as usual, I'll ask if you would stand with me as we give honor and reverence to the reading of His Word. Here, these were the words who were spoken from the prophet Jeremiah to God's people. These are the Lord's words spoken through him. He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the blessing of today. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of life. Lord, we thank you for the gifts and the mercies that you have showered upon us. Lord, Father, I know that this morning as we come to this place and as we gather, I know that there are many among us, Lord, who maybe nobody else knows the struggle, but I know there are some of us who are struggling. Lord, Father, I pray and I uplift them. Lord, you know the need, you know the burden. Even if some others may not, Lord, I pray for some unspoken needs this morning. Lord, I uplift people and individuals, and you know who they are, and you know what's going on, Lord, and I just ask that you touch them in a mighty and a special way. Lord, I pray that this morning as a body of believers that you would use us mightily here. Lord, Father, I pray that as we take a moment this morning just to celebrate in fellowship, to celebrate in a time of homecoming, that, Lord, we would focus this morning on what your thoughts are for us. Lord, this is what you shared with your people. And Lord, even though these words were spoken 2,000 plus years ago, they're so relevant still yet to us today. Even though the circumstances, the situations may not always be the same, Lord, we know that your thoughts for us never, ever change. So Lord, Father, I pray that today we see what your thoughts for us are. Lord, Father, I pray and I ask that this morning you use me as a mouthpiece and as a tool. Nothing more, nothing less. Lord, I pray that you forgive me for my failures, Lord, as I know that they truly are many. So, Lord, Father, I pray today most of all that if there's somebody here who has never known you, never accepted you into their heart and their life, that, Lord, before it's everlasting too late, I pray that they give their life to you. Lord, Father, I pray today that maybe there's a Christian, a believer here, and they are struggling. Lord, I pray that they see that this altar is a place for them to come and to lay down their burdens and to lay down their struggles, to put them here at your feet for you to pick them up and to bear them for us. Lord, Father, I pray that whatever the needs of the people would be this morning, that we would be responsive. Lord, it's all this we pray and ask In the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. He says, I know the plans I have for you. In the King James Version, here we normally on the morning services read through the ESV, but through the King James Version, if you read this verse of Scripture, the verse of Scripture outlines it and says, I have thoughts and plans for you. And he says they are thoughts of peace. Thoughts of peace. Anybody know what that word means? Peace. You know, we think about the definition of the word peace, and a lot of times the definition that we come up with is the definition is that we relate to our world today. You know, the definition of peace that we would think of is to have a lack of warfare, to have a lack of fighting, to have a lack of struggles. That's a lot of times what we would think of to be peace. But if you look up the Hebrew translation of the word peace and what it really meant as the Lord was speaking unto Jeremiah, it has a couple of different meanings. And the root word of the meaning of peace to which they spoke of means to be complete, to be sound. It means to be whole, but it also means to live well. So when we think about that word peace, the Lord says, I have thoughts of plans of good things for you, in particular, thoughts of peace. So the idea is that the Lord has thoughts of peace for us. His plans for us involve peace in our life, to be whole, to be complete, and to live well. You often heard me say it before, we have no idea what real peace is like until you live without peace. Anybody ever lived without peace? Anybody ever been in a point in a time in your life where you do not have peace? Where you're not complete? Where you're not whole? Where you go through this struggle of just not being able to live well? Well, God's thoughts and plans for us as a people and for us as a church is that His thoughts are that we will have peace, that we can be whole, that we can be complete, and that we can live well. I believe that the Lord in these verses of Scripture is telling the people, I want you to have peace of heart and I want you to have peace of mind. It's important that we understand what's happening in the context of these Scriptures. You know, the Lord is speaking to the prophet Jeremiah. God's people have been taken captive. And because of their sins, because of their disobedience to God, the Lord allowed them to be taken captive, taken as slaves, carried off in the land of Babylon. And they're living in a foreign country, in a foreign land, and now they're slaves. They can't be free anymore. They're slaves to a government that they do not recognize, to a religion that they do not believe in. And that's their situation. That's their circumstance. And many of these people are going to be in this situation and circumstance for generations and generations until we have a man who will come forward and lead the people back. And Nehemiah will come and reestablish the place of Jerusalem. But until then, through the generations, they'll have to be in a place of bondage that they don't want to be, in a foreign land. Could you imagine being in a situation where you were carried off from your home, put into bondage, put into slavery? Could you imagine what it would be like for somebody to tell you, you need to be at peace in this situation? Could you imagine what that would be like? The Lord is literally telling His people, I want you to be at peace, even though you're in bondage, even though you're in slavery, even though things are difficult. He says, I want you to be complete, I want you to be whole, and I want you to live well. We need to know and understand that there are things in our life that we literally cannot change. There are circumstances that are in our life that no matter how hard we try, things are not going to be different in some cases. That's just the truth and that's just the reality of it. Sometimes it's God's purpose that we are in the place, in the moment, in the season, that we go through the things that we go through because of His intent and because His purpose is greater than we can understand. Amen? God's people were in a place and a situation because of the things that they did, but God's thoughts to them were still of peace. Why? Because He had a purpose for them. We go through those moments and those seasons and those difficulties. Why? Because God does love and God does care, because God has a purpose and God still intends for us to have peace. Even in bondage and slavery, the Lord spoke to His people and said, I want you to have peace. I want you to be whole. I want you to be complete. And I want you to live well. We need to see and understand that even though circumstances and times and places and situations are not always ideal, they're not always optimistic, sometimes they're just downright hard and difficult and bad, that we still have to know and understand that God's plans for us are plans of peace. God wants us to have peace of heart and peace of mind. But God also wants us to have peace with Him. Above all and above anything else, God wants us to have peace with Him. You know, it's difficult when we struggle with peace at home, when we struggle with not having peace at work, when we struggle with not having peace in so many aspects of our life. But it is impossible. It is impossible to find any inkling of happiness in this life if we do not have peace with God. Amen? Peace with God is vitally essential. And here, even though God's people are in bondage and slavery in a place where they do not want to be, God says, I want you to be whole. I want you to be complete. I want you to live well. I want you to have peace, not just of heart and mind, but I want you to have peace in Me. So regardless of your circumstance and regardless of your situation, have peace with God. Amen? He says, I have thoughts of peace. He says, I know the plans for you, declares the Lord, and they are plans of welfare and of peace. He says, not of evil. We see that the thoughts that God has in store for us are not thoughts of evil, but they are thoughts of good. If you look up the translation of the word when He spoke of evil, and even in the King James, the word evil is still used. If you look up the translation of the word, what it means, literally, the evil that He is talking about is not talking about sin in the morality stance, but what He's talking about evil in the sense of calamity, when bad things happen. And God's people were in a time and a point in their life where bad things were happening. They were in bondage and slavery. Now, it was because of the things that they did. They, in a sense, earned the situation that they were in. But nonetheless, they were in a bad place and a bad situation. But the Lord says, my thoughts for you are to have peace and also know and understand that my thoughts for you are not calamity. My thoughts for you are not bad. Even though you've sinned against me, even though you've done what I've told you not to do, my thoughts for you are still yet of peace and not of calamity, not of a bad will. You need to see and understand that even though you may do wrong, even though you may fail, even though you fall short, even though you're in the midst of your hard time, even though it may seem like that God is hitting the smite button in your life, you need to know and understand that God has a plan of good for you. He has a plan of good. He doesn't want calamity in your life. He doesn't want bad circumstances and bad situations. We know that those things do come and we know that those things do happen. But we need to see and understand that God's plan for us doesn't involve ultimate destruction. Have you ever gone through something in your life so difficult and so hard that you really just thought that everybody was against you? And you even began to wonder, is God against me? If you've never thought that at some point in your life, you are a much stronger Christian than I am. I'll just tell you that. I think in earnesty, at some point, we've all raised the question, God, are you really for me? All the bad things that are happening in my life, all the struggles that I'm going through, all of the things that just seem to not come together like they really should. Do you really love me? Do you really care about me? Do you really have my best interest at heart? As human beings, there's probably been a point in time where we've asked ourselves, where we've thought that. If we've not said it to others, we probably at least said it to ourselves. But we can be reassured in knowing, know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of peace that you may be whole, that you may live well, that you may be complete, but also not plans of calamity and disaster. Even though you go through struggles and trials and tribulations and hardships and hard times, it is God's plan for you to come out on the other side. Amen? I think about Paul when he shared in the book of Romans. I don't have the scripture to show you this morning, but Paul out of the book of Romans, he said this. He says, for those who love God, good things happen to them. He says, for those who love the Lord, good things happen unto them. Why? Because you love the Lord. Because you are His. Good things come to those who love the Lord. It all works out for those of us who believe. Right now in your current situation, right now in your hardship, it may not look like you're going to come out on the other side. It may not look like things are going to get better. But I promise you that God's plans is not destruction or disaster or calamity. God's plans are for things to get better. How do I know that? Because He finishes up this verse by saying this. He says, plans of welfare and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. To give you a future and a hope. Look up the translation of that word, what they were saying in the Hebrew as the Lord spoke unto the people. When He said future, it literally means a longed for and a desired end. He says, I have a future for you. He says, I have a future for you. Meaning I have that longed for and desired end. A lot of times we are very short-minded as humans, as people. To us, when we think of the future, we're thinking about what we're going to have for lunch, right? Anybody? Yeah. The future for us is, what am I going to have for lunch? And then after lunch, the future is, what am I going to have for dinner? You know, what am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do next week? When is the next vacation that I can have? That's how we look at the future. That's how we think about the future. We think about the future in terms of hours and days, or maybe a few weeks or a few short months. A lot of times we're not thinking of the future as in years down the road. And a lot of times that's one of the greatest struggles in the life of the church, is that we are not future minded. You know, as a church, we're thinking of how can we get through this year and into the next. As a church, we ought to be thinking about years down the road. Not just next year, but as a church, we ought to be thinking about where do we need to be 5 years from now. As a church, where should we be 10 years from now? 15 years from now? 20 years from now? Those are important questions. And a lot of times the attitude of us as people is, I don't need to worry about 20 years down the road. Why? Because I probably won't even be around 20 years from now. A buddy of mine that I worked with, he was talking about how that he just replaced all of the windows in his house. And he said, you know what? I'm not really worried about it anymore. Because by the time the lifespan of those windows are up, I'll be dead. I'm not worried about it. That's how he kind of looks at things. You know, and I'm afraid that a lot of us look at things like that as well. In the church, we think, what's it really matter what the church is like in 20 or 30 years? I'm not going to be here to see it. A lot of times we make decisions based on that kind of poor planning or that kind of poor thought of the future. The Lord says, I have a future for you, meaning I have a longed for and a desired end. I hope that the desired end for this church is not just, well, that's the next generation's problem to deal with. I hope you don't think of it that way. Society and culture and government is in a bad place now because we passed the buck for so long. We'll let the next generation deal with it. We'll let the next generation deal with it. We'll let the next generation deal with it. A longed for and a desired end. The Lord says, that's what I have in store for you, a longed for and a desired end. Ultimately, it was hard for these people to see when the Lord spoke these words. But in the other verses, if we would have read them as the Scripture continues on, the longed for and the desired end was ultimately that the Lord would lead them back to Jerusalem. That the Lord would lead them back to the promised land that He had given them. That was their longed for and their desired end. But it would take generations. Some of those folks couldn't look to the generations, but the Lord says, look to the future that I have for you, the longed for and the desired end. What is your longed for and desired end? We'll talk about that some next week as we talk about who we are, who we want to be, and who we can be. But what do you think when you think of a future? Not your future, but God's future for you. He says, I have thoughts of a future, a longed for, and a desired end. But he says, I also have for you hope. What do you mean by that? If you look up the root words of the translation for hope, the best of things to come. He said, I have a hope for you. The best of things to come. That's His hope. That's God's hope for us as believers. The best of things. Not the second best, not the third best. God's hope and future for us is the very best. That's what God's desire is for us as a church and for us as believers. And I know in difficult times and hardships and trials and tribulations and bad situations, we do not think or we cannot see that there's a future, a longed for and a desired end, but also that there is a hope, that there are things that are still yet to come that will be better. But I promise you in the Lord, things can and will be better. Always. But you got to hold fast. You got to hold fast. These are the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of peace and welfare, not of evil. To give you a future, a longed for, and a desired end, and a hope. The best is yet to come. That's how we have to look to that. The best is yet to come. Church, as we celebrate a homecoming Sunday, I hope that you're looking to the future, planning for the future as a church, but also looking to the hope that the best is yet to come. That God has better in store. That God has plans of peace for us. That we have peace of heart and peace of mind. But more importantly, we have peace with Him. That He has thoughts of good toward us. That we would not see calamity or disaster or despair, but in Him there'll be a good ending. Amen. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never began a personal walk with Christ. I can tell you that it is impossible to have peace with God without first knowing Christ Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. That is the beginning of peace. That's where it all starts. That's where it all begins. Peace begins with Christ Jesus. In His coming, what did they say about Christ? Peace and goodwill toward mankind. Christ in His coming is the epitome of peace. Peace begins with Him. Knowing Him as personal Lord and Savior. And if you've never known Christ, I would love to share with you how that you might be saved, because it is simple. If you're here and you know that you're lost, if you know you're an unsaved sinner, all you have to do is come and invite Christ Jesus into your heart. Admit and acknowledge that you are indeed a sinner in need of salvation. Believe in your heart on Christ Jesus, that He is the Son of God, that God sent Him to be the one to die for our sins. Believe that He rose again and that His death is the atonement of your sins. If you'll confess Him as Lord and as Savior, the Bible says, the Word of God says that He is faithful and just and willing to forgive us our trespasses. You can be saved. And peace will begin in your heart and in your life. Maybe you're here and you believe. You have a relationship with the Lord, but nonetheless, you struggle. You don't have peace of heart, of mind. You seem to struggle in your peace with the Lord. You question if His plans for you are really good, if He really loves you. Maybe you struggle with that. Maybe you struggle with the idea of the future. Maybe you struggle with the idea of hope. Come this morning. The altar is a great place to repair those thoughts, to repair your relationship with Him. I encourage you to come. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to pray for you. However the Lord is working on your heart and on your life today, you come and respond this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the blessing and the gift of life. Lord, I thank You so much that You loved us enough that You gave Your Son for us, that if we but believe in Him, that we might be saved. Lord, I know that life is not easy, and I know that people struggle. I know how real the struggles are, and Lord, I pray for those who are struggling. Lord, I pray, Father, that You would bless and touch their hearts. And Lord, I pray that if they feel so led, Lord, that they might come and that they might cry and bear their burden and their heart out to You. Lord, if there is somebody here who has never known You in the free pardon of sin, somebody who's never invited Your Son into their heart and into their life, Lord, I pray that today they would not put anything before it. That today they would come, they would give their life to You. That today they could begin a journey of peace. Lord, it's all this we ask in Your holy and precious name. Amen.